Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day and this opportunity tonight that you have given us, Lord, to hear the truth about your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that tonight someone has searched the scriptures, that someone wants to have a relationship with you. Pray, Lord, that in the subject tonight, that Brother Copeland stand bold on those truths he has studied and proclaim unto them Jesus and his church. We pray, Lord, that through this medium that you have allowed us to have since May, that we can continue to carry your message all across the world. Pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us with the increase, and Lord, bless us with the opportunity and the privilege to share the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to this lost and dying world. Lord, we know that your word will not return unto you void. Pray, Lord, that your word have free course this evening. In your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Fonda. We appreciate you so very much for working with me, and we're so thankful to have each and every person on tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray now you get your Bible, open it up, and pay attention to the things our speaker will talk about tonight. Our speaker is in the person of Brother Donald Copeland. Brother Copeland preaches for the Bells Church of Christ in Bells, Tennessee, and has been there since October 2016. He's also a certified teacher at Fort Worth Behavioral Health Services in Olive Branch, Mississippi. He also was an elder at one time at the Olive Branch Church of Christ in Mississippi. So good to have him on the call tonight. Brother Copeland, we've assigned you a topic tonight regarding our theme, Have You Not Read, about those who change the truth of God into a lie. We want to hear about that, Brother Copeland. Tell us about it.
All right. Greetings, everyone. I'm, as was mentioned, Donald Copeland, the preacher at the Bells Church of Christ. I'm delighted to be able to have an opportunity to talk about this topic. So let me encourage you to get your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. The topic that I have is, have you not read about those who change the truth of God into a lie? And so we're going to learn about the lies that are told in our world today and has been throughout time. We're going to learn the truth that's going to come from the scriptures. And so let me encourage you to have a pencil and paper, write down these verses or listen to the recording later on, because we're going to let the Bible speak to help us understand why those would change the truth of God into a lie. So in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice this verse where we get our text. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, Notice this, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And yes, this evening I want to talk about those who change the truth of God into a lie. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is proclaiming the truth about the one and only true God of heaven. The word God is mentioned 22 times in 32 verses here in Romans chapter 1. That's not to mention how many more times it's mentioned throughout this book. In chapter 1, verse 1, he talks about the gospel of God. Verse 4, the Son of God. Verse 7, the beloved of God. Verse 7 again, grace to you and peace from God. Verse 10, the will of God. Verse 16, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 17, the righteousness of God. Verse 18, the wrath of God. Verse 20, the invisible things of him. Verse 20 again, his eternal power and Godhead. Verse 23, the glory of the incorruptible God. Verse 25, the truth of God. Again, verse 25, the Creator. Verse 30, there are those that are haters of God. And then verse 32, the judgment of God. But what if there is the true God of heaven? Well, there is. Then all these other things that I mentioned here are true also. But what's the problem? Many people don't want to live by these divine truths and godly principles. With that being the case, what are they going to do? Well, verse 25 tells us they're going to change the truth of God into a lie. This eases their conscience, removes guilt, sanctions their sinful pleasures. And notice also in Romans chapter 1, there are three groups of sinners that are implied in this chapter. The first group of sinners are those that have obeyed the gospel for salvation from their sins. That's what Paul talked about in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He called them the saints at Rome in chapter 1, verse 1, and again in verse 6 through 8. And then, as I mentioned, all of those that obey the gospel, all the sinners who come to Jesus Christ by faith and obedience, in obedience to the gospel, have salvation. That's the first group, the sinners that have obeyed the gospel for salvation. The second group of sinners are those that simply just do not care. Verse 32, they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the second group of sinners, the ones that just simply know what they're doing, but they don't care. The third group of sinners are those who try to justify their actions by rationalizing it and legitimizing it, saying that it's okay, everybody else is doing it, they're excuse-making. Again, they're those that would change the truth of God into a lie. As I mentioned, one group of sinners, they know the truth. They just don't care. They even know there's going to be a judgment day. They just don't care. And the third group of sinners are those that try to justify their actions through rationalizing and legitimizing. Now, notice it's the Apostle Paul that had wrote the letter to the book of Romans. He also wrote a letter to the book of Galatians. Just want to refer to one verse. That's chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Our lesson is about truth and lies. So let that sink in. Paul's writing to Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. At Galatians, he says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So let that sink in. Those words are from the beloved and inspired Apostle Paul. The truth makes enemies. Why would someone oppose the truth and view a friend as an enemy? Well, because he or she is speaking against the lifestyle that that person wants to live. And so they viewed Paul as an enemy. What about Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God, as we know it, but others don't accept that fact. John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Why would someone want to reject Jesus Christ, our Lord? Well, because he speaks the truth, and his truth may go against the lifestyle that they want to live. And so they have freedom of choice, and they can reject him or that they can accept him. But Jesus says, if you reject me, one day you're going to be judged by him, and not only by him, but you're going to be judged by his word as well. Notice Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me emphasize something. If you want to go to heaven, it has to be by Jesus, not by your priest, not by your pastor, not by your preacher that preaches things that are not in the scriptures, not by your parents, not by your peers, not by your professor. If you want to go to heaven, it's by Jesus Christ. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's praying to the Father, speaking to the Father. He wants the Father to set apart those that he had called to be his apostles and those that would follow the word, his word, that the apostles would preach. So sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many times, as members of the body of Christ, we try to study with individuals, we try to preach and teach to individuals, but they cut us short, just like they did Jesus. If you want to be his disciple, you have to continue in that word. And when you're able to do that, and willing to do that, you'll know the truth. And not only that, the truth shall make you free. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, he said, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Again, the Apostle John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, would say, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So what's going on? Jesus says he's the only way to heaven, and that's true. But priests, pastors, preachers, parents, peers, professors all come along and say there's another way. Well, you have the truth of God, then you also have the lies of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 through 15, notice what Paul says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, notice that, Satan's ministers, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, what's going on here? Satan is a promoter of lies, that we'll talk about in a few moments as well. God's a promoter of truth. God has his disciples. Satan has his disciples. God has his children, and Satan has his children. So people have to be careful in what they're listening to and what they're following. Is it actually the truth, or is it a lie? Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4, he said, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's Christians turning away from God, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies. That's what we're going to talk about. In hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Notice the Apostle Paul, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So what does the Bible teach us? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Whose approval do we want? The priests, the pastors, the parents, the peers, the professors, or should it be Jesus? Should it be God? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Notice this, rightly divining the word of truth. We need to know how to use the word of truth, the word of God, and sharing it with others. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, concerning the word of God, the Hebrew writer says, it is quick and powerful, for the word of God is quick and powerful, or alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why some folks don't want to hear the word of God, what it does to their heart, what it does to their mind. It searches their heart, and it searches their mind. it can discern their thoughts and their intents. That's why in Romans chapter 1, they did not want to retain God and their knowledge. And so they wanted to replace God with a lie. Another passage I want you to look at, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin may be revealed, the son of perdition." Paul doesn't want anyone to be deceived by the lies that are out there. Verse 4, this man of sin, the son of perdition, he says, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told thee these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Notice these verses. They're important to our study. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with A-double-L, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice this, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's a lot of Bible verses, but I'd rather let the Bible talk than me talk. If you've written those verses down, let me encourage you to study them. Now let's look at the heart of this lesson. What lies has Satan and his pastors, preachers, and priests, and also professors spread? What kind of lies are they spreading? Remember our text in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, those who would change the truth of God into a lie, what are they doing? Well, here's the first lie that we can look at. They lie about God. The Bible teaches us that God is, and the lie that is out there is God ain't. Atheists don't believe that there is a God. But the Bible makes it very clear for those who want to follow it. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The truth, God is. The lie, God ain't. Hebrews 11, 6 makes it very clear he is. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God was encouraging Moses to speak to the people. He asked God, well, who am I going to tell them sent me? In Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. God is, was, and forever shall be that eternal God. There's many arguments that point out who God is. A teleological argument, that's just an argument with design. When you look at the plants, the animals, human beings, the universe, there is design in all of this. And if there is design, there must be a designer. That's where Psalm 19 comes in. It shows us that God had created all of this. Psalm 19, verse 7, it's his word that converts the soul. There's the cosmological argument. Cause. What brought all of this about? Well, not only was it brought about, but you have design. And so God would be the cause behind all of it. What about the moral argument? If you had no morals, then you couldn't compare one with another. But we do have morals. In each country, Hitler's morals were wrong. The racist morals are wrong. But the Bible teaches truth, and not only that, but absolute truth. We can look at what other people teach, what other people believe, the lifestyle they want to live. We can compare that with the scriptures, and we can see who's right and who's wrong. And keep in mind, in Romans chapter 1, Paul described a long list of sinful behaviors of mankind, not only during his time, but during our time as well. First line, is a lie about God, that he ain't. The second lie is a lie about Jesus Christ. He ain't. John chapter 8 and verse 24, what did Jesus say? Except you believe that I am, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus is telling us that he is. He is who he says he is. He's going to accomplish what he came to do, and he did that. And on the cross, he would say that it is finished. But Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. The lie is, he ain't. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, John describes Jesus as being that eternal life. Jesus is who he says he is. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Jesus is who he claims to be. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're going to die in your sins. John 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus makes it very clear. If anyone wants to go to heaven, they have to go by him. A third lie. And that's a lie about being born in sin. Now, why would someone, especially religious people, want to teach that we're born in sin? Well, it gives sinners an excuse for their sinful choices. I just couldn't help myself. I was born this way. Well, no, you're not born that way. That's a lie. You're born pure in God's sight. Psalm 51, verse 5, the King James Version says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's very important to understand why it was translated that way. David, as he grew up in this life, allowed himself to be conformed with this world. So he would say, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The New International Version says, Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Well, conception takes place, and you got 9 months before you're born. And so what's David talking about here? He's not talking about being born in sin, not talking about being a sinner from the time that he was conceived. That's what Satan does to the new translations that we have to promote these lies. The Bible called the message says, I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. Talking about Psalm 51, verse 5. The Living Bible says, But I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. The Good News translation says, I have been evil from the day I was born. From the time I was conceived, I have been sinful. Really, that's some false translations of the Holy Scriptures. Promoting lies as opposed to promoting the truth. You see, the people in our religious world have a problem. What are they going to do with Jesus? Jesus was born into this world, wasn't he? Yes, he was. But they would say he was born pure. There was an immaculate conception. Really? The Bible teaches that nowhere. But then they teach us that Mary was the one that was immaculately conceived. Really? I don't see that in the Scriptures either. She was born just like anyone else into this world, born pure. Jesus, that virgin birth, brought into this world, born pure. But they'll use not only Psalm 51, verse 5, and the mistranslations, but also Romans 5, verse 12. Now, the King James Version says, Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world. That's important. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How do we sin? 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. It's very important that we understand this philosophical question that's out there. Do we sin because we are sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? Well, to say that we sin because we're sinners implies you're born in sin. But the Scriptures teach us that we're sinners because we sin. We chose to break God's law and sin. For by one man, sin entered into the world. It made its presence known. Now, the Living Bible translates it this way. When Adam sinned, sin entered into the entire human race. That's not what the Greek text says. But that's how they translated it to promote these lies about being born in sin. Romans 5:12, the King James Version, sin entered into the world. Well, Jesus entered into the world. What does that mean? Jesus made his presence into the world, just like sin made its presence into the world. Jesus didn't enter into the heart of every man. When he entered into the world, he made his presence known. John 1 verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Again, he made his presence known like sin, and Genesis chapter 3 made its presence known as well. John 12 and verse 46, Jesus says, I'm the come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Man has a choice about Jesus, just like we have a choice about sin. Do I want to believe on Jesus? Do I want to sin? We have a choice. We're born pure into this world, but we're sinners because we broke the law of God. The Bible doesn't teach that we're born in sin. Much more can be said about that, but I want to move on. A fourth lie, not just a lie that God ain't, not just a lie that Jesus ain't, not just a lie that we're born in sin, but there's a lie about the gospel. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 11, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What are you saying, Paul? Somebody preaches a different gospel than that which is written in the scriptures. He says, let them be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ. What gospel did Paul preach? The gospel that Christ commissioned him to preach. In 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, in the gospel he preached about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. As Paul preached that good news in Acts 16 verse 31, he preached about belief in Christ. Acts 17:30, he preached about repentance of sins. Romans 10:9-10, he not only preached but taught about and wrote about confession with the mouth unto salvation. Galatians 3:26-27, again, he talked about faith and baptism. That's a gospel that Paul preached. But let's get to a fifth lie, if you would. Not just that lie about the gospel, but the lie about salvation through prayer, by faith only, and the once saved, always saved idea. Salvation was to be preached to every nation, Matthew 28:19, to every creature, Mark 16:15. Jesus said in verse 16 of Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So Paul, by inspiration, says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, that therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Wait a minute. Where is salvation? Paul said it's in Christ. Here's a legitimate question. How do I get into Christ? Well, here's a legitimate answer. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 and 27, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do I get into Christ? Baptism. That's not what many in our religious world teach today. They teach that you can be saved by faith only. Again, but how do I get into Christ where salvation is? You're baptized into Christ. That's what Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 7 point out. Let's look at the sixth lie, if you would, quickly. And that's a lie about baptism. Is it water? Isn't it water? Is it sprinkling? Is it pouring? Is it immersion? Is it necessary? Is it not necessary? Well, in Leviticus chapter 14, in verse 14 through 16, notice what Moses wrote. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put on it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But notice verse 15 and 16. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it in the palm of his own left hand. Verse 16, the priest shall dip his right finger into the oil that is in his left hand. And then notice this, and he shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. Do you think God knows the difference between pouring and sprinkling and dipping or immersion? God does. In the New Testament, baptism is immersion, and baptism is in water. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, I could ask the simple yes or no question. Did Peter say that baptism doth also now save us? I put that on an internet religious forum one time, and half the people said no. Peter didn't say that. The King James Version, that's what he said. That baptism doth also now save us. Well, what about being saved by faith only? The Bible doesn't teach that we're saved by faith only. When you say only, that excludes everything else. And 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, God saves us. Luke 19:10, Christ saves us. John 1:21, the Word of God, that engrafted Word, saves us. Titus 3:5, mercy saves us. Ephesians 2:8, grace saves us. Acts 16:31, belief saves us. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism saves us. Romans 10:9-10, confession with the mouth saves us. Romans 8:24, hope saves us. Romans 10, verse 13, calling on the name of the Lord saves us. 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul said preaching the gospel takes part in our salvation as well. Another quick lie, if you would, in the few moments that we have left, there's a lie about the Lord's church, that you don't have to be a member of the church to be saved. We pointed out salvation's in the church. Some say it doesn't matter what church you're in to be saved. Well, I beg to differ. The Bible teaches that there's only one church and you need to be a part of it. Satan knows if you're in the wrong church. If you are in the wrong church, you're going to be lost forever. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Mark 16, verse 18. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He added them to his church. That church he purchased with his own blood in Acts 20 and verse 28. That church was established on the day of Pentecost, first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. And so AD 33 in Jerusalem is when the Lord's church started. If you have a church that started before that, it's not the right church. You got a church that started after that, it's not the right church. When we preach the gospel and we obey the gospel, individuals that come by faith and obedience to the gospel, they're added to the Lord's church. Let me just quickly talk about another lie that's in our world today. And again, that's a lie about Christianity. And that is, Jesus talked about the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a Christian life. When it comes to Christianity, some folks say, well, it doesn't matter what name we wear. I beg to differ again. Isaiah 56 and verse 5, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the name of sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 62 and verse 2, the Gentiles shall see the righteousness and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. What name is that? Acts 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, not Baptists, not Methodists, not Catholics. They were called Christians first. Acts 26 and verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let me close with the lie about the judgment. I could talk about a lot more lies, but let me talk about the lie about the judgment. Some folks say that there is not going to be a judgment. Some folks say there's going to be more than one judgment. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day, notice that, a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. There will be a judgment day. God's appointed it. It is going to be one day in which the world is going to be judged, both sinner and saint. There's not going to be two judgment days. So let's conclude all of this. Somebody says, it just doesn't matter. It's not really a matter of salvation, really. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's going on here? You got religious people that are going to be cast into hell because they want to work iniquity. What do we mean by that? They've changed the truth of God into a lie. They want to build their own God. They want to build their own Jesus. They want to build their own church. They want to preach their own gospel. They want to preach their own Christian lifestyle. They want to preach what they want about the rapture, the coming of Christ, the resurrection, and also preach what they want about the judgment day. God's going to judge mankind by his word. We need to be prepared for it. Religious people are going to be lost because they're living a life in iniquity and in sin. They're following the lies that the devil promotes. What about Christians? James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, James is writing to Christians. If any man do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Folks, we've learned about truth and error. And we need to understand the importance of maintaining in the truth. In Hebrews 10 and verse 26, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries. Yes, we have lies, we have lying, we have liars. We're going to end up in hell, not in heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 8, unbelievers, along with liars, are going to have their part in that second death. Revelation 21 and verse 27, liars are not going to make it to that place called heaven. Why? There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Notice this, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22 and verse 15, without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers and idolaters, and notice this, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Lies, lying, and liars are not going to make it to that beautiful place called heaven. The folks that make it to the heaven are those that follow the truth. If you've been listening to us this evening, the gospel has been preached unto you, and we pointed out clearly from the scriptures what you need to do to be saved. Yes, you got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Yes, you have to repent of your sins, Acts 17 and verse 30. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You also have to be baptized, immersed in water. And when you do that, Romans chapter 6, 3 through 7, that old man of sin is crucified. Your sins are washed away by the precious blood of Christ. Then you can rise to newness of life. If we can help you in any other way, you know, you can call in the numbers that you have. We can work with you. We can study with you. If you have any questions, comments, or criticisms, we'd love to hear from you. But I hope you've enjoyed the study of the scriptures and understanding the difference between truth and error and understanding what the Bible says about those who would change the truth of God into a lie. This time, I'll turn the services back over to Brother Tommy.
Thank you, Brother Colburn. We appreciate you bringing that lesson to us tonight. That's a very dangerous thing to change the truth of God into a lie. Hopefully, our listening audience have taken this in. And if you're on the call tonight and you not a member of the Church of Christ, you've been lied to about the truth, and you need to obey it before it's everlasting, eternally too late. So we're teaching the truth, but we speak the truth in love. That's what we're doing tonight. So if you want to be baptized, you want to become a member of the true church, then we encourage you to get back with the person. We invite you to our call. Or if you want to talk to us, just email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. You desire to be baptized, you want Bible study, if you have questions, please email us and we'll make sure we get back to you with the answers. And perhaps you want to go back and listen to the script, a lot of scripture we've given tonight. It will be on our website at HighlandHeightsCoc.net. That's HighlandHeightsCoc.net. Go on there, go to Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. All the sermons are there. We certainly want you to think about this because people are dying every day. And we don't want you to die in your sin. We're trying to make heaven our home. We know to do that. We must continue to teach this truth and obey it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this day you've given us, one we've never seen before. We'll never see it again. Thank you for loving us, Father. And you showed it by giving your Son. And it was him who said, greater love than no man than this. He laid down his life for his friend. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word that we can read and find the truth and be able to find the difference between the truth and the lie. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Brother Copeland. We pray for him and his ministry. And we pray a special prayer for our visitors, those who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ, And I've not been baptized for the remission of sins. I'm not obeying that simple truth. We pray that they'll make that decision before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Thank you for all you do, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening tonight. Don't miss tomorrow night. Brother Billy Bland, you're going to talk about the blood of Christ. We want you to come back tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, for another message from the Word of God. May God bless you. Have a good night's rest. We love you.